It's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Last year, Colorado Springs Gazette reporter Dave Phillips investigated why a growing number of soldiers were being discharged from the military for misconduct. This week, he won a Pulitzer Prize for his work. It is journalism's highest honor. Phillips' stories detailed soldiers being discharged without benefits, some of them suffering from PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And Dave Phillips joins us from Colorado Springs. Congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks very much.
How did you find out about the Pulitzer?
You know, I was actually on about to get on a plane to come back to Colorado Springs. And so I was just sitting, in the waiting room. And my wife texted me.
Well, how nice that you were able to find out before you got on the plane, and you just
came. Yeah. Well, and then of course I got the stewardess to the flight attendant to announce it to the whole plane.
Did you really?
Because I couldn't celebrate by myself. Yeah, you got to let people know. I couldn't sit on a plane just sitting there like, oh my God, I won the Pulitzer Prize.
Fasten your safety
so
belts.
So they were very nice.
Yeah, fasten your safety belts, and on board with us is a Pulitzer Prize winner, essentially.
That's basically how it went.
Remind us of the thrust of your series, which looked into something called other than honorable discharges.
You know, what it basically was is, let me explain it to you as boring as possible. It was a workman's comp issue. Essentially, any of the rest of us, if we're hurt on the job and it is the fault of the employer, you're doing it in the course of your job, you're covered. And it doesn't matter if later you get a DUI or later you show up late to work or something, you're still covered. But the people that serve in our military don't have that right. Essentially, if you are blown up in Afghanistan, even if the military decides, oh yes, this person is obviously injured, if you then start misbehaving later, and it can be very minor misconduct, it could be being late to a doctor's appointment or something, they can kick you out, and when you get kicked out, you are separated from your veterans' benefits for life. And so what we found is that essentially, people who are injured, people who have brain injuries or post-traumatic stress disorder, are much more likely to be caught up in this trap because they often don't show up on time. They often have problems with irritability, with antisocial behavior. These people, the people who need these benefits the most, are the ones who were being separated from it.
What were you able to establish about why this is happening and whether there is nefarious intent behind it on the government's part? I mean, one thing we know is that the Pentagon is trying to shrink the ranks of the military. Is this a device to do that?
I think that this actually was more something that grew organically from the ground up because there were some dysfunctional systems. If you want to medically discharge a soldier, you decide this person's been injured. They can no longer do their job. We'll put them out with benefits and hand them off to the VA. That process takes, on average, 14 months. It's long. It's complicated. It's clogged. It's pretty dysfunctional. Hmm. And the problem is that you can't a fighting unit can't get a replacement for a soldier they'd like to medically discharge until that soldier is out. And so let's say, imagine that you're a captain in charge of a company of infantry soldiers. Let's say that a fifth of your soldiers qualify for that, but you can't get rid of them. And in the meantime, you can't get a replacement. And guess what? You have to leave for Afghanistan for a dangerous mission in 6 months. You know, what are you going to do?
You take.
And so I think a lot of people were.
You suppose you take the path. Yeah, you take the path of least resistance, which winds up being these other than honorable discharges.
Right. And they take only about 5 weeks, 6 weeks to get a soldier out. So it's easy. The alternative is very difficult. And in a lot of cases, there's not a whole lot of choice. And in addition, I don't think that some of these young commanders can tell the difference between a soldier who is injured and a soldier who is bad. I don't think that Army doctors can tell the difference because while we're aware of these injuries and we realize that they're real, our diagnostics for them is still in its infancy.
Right. And when the side effect of an illness or the side effect of an injury is actually misconduct, bad behavior, quote unquote, how do you differentiate what is the side effect of a traumatic brain injury or PTSD from, just plain bad behavior? I want to note that your series prompted Democratic Senator Michael Bennett and Republican Congressman Mike Kaufman to propose amendments to the defense budget that would address the rise in these kinds of discharges. But the changes, as I understand it, were ultimately removed. Has anything changed policy-wise since your series?
There have been some small changes that did get into the National Defense Authorization Bill that will help some of these soldiers. But, I would like to see both Kaufman and Bennett try and reintroduce the language that they proposed, because I think both of them, they called for hearings and they called for an investigation by the Government Accountability Office. And I think both of those things would give Congress answers, give them a better understanding of what's going on so that they can look at what some fixes would be. And so let's hope that they get that done.
In the meantime, what does this mean for the people you profiled in your series? What are their lives like, separated from the military and without benefits?
Well, for the people we focused on in the story, there have been big changes. One of the men who we reported on was homeless, and because of a brain injury from a bomb blast in Afghanistan, he was having regular seizures. He now has full benefits from the VA. He's actually living in Denver, going to school. He got the GI Bill. So for him, it's been a huge change. Another one of the soldiers that we profiled, the first time I met him, he was sitting in solitary confinement at the El Paso County Jail, where he'd been without charge for 6 months. As part of our reporting, he was released from jail. The Army let him out. And they put him in a wounded soldier unit where he could get the care that he needed. Once he was they were able to stabilize him and help him with his brain injury and his PTSD. He's like a different person. When I met him, he was very paranoid, almost delusional. And now he and I talk regularly. He's back with his wife. He has a service dog. He's been fully medically retired. He's able to spend time with his two kids, who he thought he was never going to see again because he was looking at a couple decades in prison. So I hope we've made some difference beyond those guys, but certainly with those guys, the difference was very real.
And I suppose their cases point to the idea that someone's life can be transformed if they get the proper care, if they're dealt with not through necessarily the criminal system or discharged this way, but they have their mental health issues, their physical issues addressed.
Right. And it's you can look at it very coldly as a question of societal costs, if you want. Strip all the humanity out of it and say it's going to cost us either way. Whether you put a man in prison for the rest of his life, whether you help him. And isn't it better to help these guys who have done so much? They stepped up for their country and did stuff that a lot of us can scarcely imagine.
Dave, thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Dave Phillips, investigative reporter at the Colorado Springs Gazette and winner of a Pulitzer Prize.